Hey guys, today's episode of the Table 40 podcast here on Sports Spectrum is presented by Operation Christmas Child. You can check out the website, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, to learn how to pack a shoebox or build one online. Operation Christmas Child is the world's largest Christmas project of its kind, and the National Collection Week is coming up November 14th through the 21st. They've been doing it since 1993, collecting and delivering more than 198 million gift-filled shoeboxes to children in need in over 170 countries and territories. This year, they hope to reach an additional 11 million children with these shoebox gifts. You can get involved right now. It's perfect for families. Your church could get involved, students, even small groups. A great way to teach kids about thankfulness and giving back to those in need. Again, National Collection Week, November 14th through the 21st. Shoeboxes will be collected across the country at nearly 5,000 drop-off locations. And this is a milestone year, as Operation Christmas Child expects to collect and celebrate its 200 millionth gift-filled shoebox since it all started back in 1993. Again, the website, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, with Operation Christmas Child.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Table 40 podcast. Matt and Leslie here, and tonight we continue to work our way through the Discipleship Handbook, and tonight we get into the greatest commandment, which is love, which I like because I really love you. So
that's really funny.
Let's get into this one.
Oh, so you want to talk about love tonight? I mean, at the beginning of this, our goal was to talk about marriage and parenting. So that's great. You can tell everybody that listens to this podcast how much you love your wife.
I just did.
You can say it again and again.
You give me 5 minutes to stop.
I'll give you 5 minutes to stop. But what's really cool about in scripture, in the context that we're going through, is like, what are some essentials of the faith? And the Discipleship Handbook has been really awesome to work through. And I've especially liked doing this with you and the opportunity that we've had to teach our college students on Sunday night about the Discipleship Handbook. And when we got to this chapter, this is really a fun thing to talk about, is that Jesus is meeting with these men that care deeply about the law. And there's this interaction that the Discipleship Handbook, on the very first page, I guess page 52 of chapter 8, sort of highlights. And it's in Matthew 22 Matthew 22, 34 through 40. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him, talking about Jesus, with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so I think this is a pretty incredible response by Jesus as he's talking to people that really understood the Old Testament, or like my one friend says, the First Testament, and really understood what the law meant. And Jesus said, look, here's the deal. This is the greatest commandment. I'm going to highlight this, and everything falls underneath these two things. I need you to love God with all that you have and love your neighbor. And so when you hear that, like, what sorts of things do you think about, Matt, when you think about Jesus interacting with these teachers of the law and saying, look, this is the greatest commandment?
Well, I think that when you talk about love, and we can get into the definitions of, you know, the different, you know, meanings of the word love, but I think that there's the example of God sending his son to be sacrificed for us is sort of, to me, is what love looks like. And the sacrificial way and I think even in marriage, we talk about marriage, like sacrifice, and we talked about in relationships, and what does love look like? Well, love looks, you know, I think sacrifice is a big part of that. And and selflessness is a big part of that. And so I think that when you're talking about love and you're talking about Jesus sort of giving, you know, these, you know, people that knew the Bible and the Old Testament, he told them, you know, the greatest commandment is love. I think that we need to take a close look at those words. Maybe sometimes we gloss over that and just keep reading, but when he says that that's his greatest commandment, like, okay, so let's break that down. Like, let's really, you know, take a deeper dive into what that means and how that affects our lives and what we can do with it.
Yeah. And I think the Jewish Bible had 613 recorded commands, but Jesus is saying, look, this towers above the rest. And it comes from Deuteronomy 6:4-5. And it's this prayer that was recited daily by the Jews in the morning and at night. And it's like, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You so love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And I just think it's really cool. Like, the original understanding would be that we love God with three parts of our being, our heart, our soul, and our might. And I think that that's something that we see throughout Scripture is loving God holistically. And I do think that that's a really beautiful practice that Jewish men and women and children have been doing for a very long time. It's like this mindset that I want to be challenged to adopt as a believer and a follower of Christ is what if I woke up every morning, and what if the things I thought about before I went to bed is, Lord, how did I love the Lord with all that I had today? And I don't know, I just think our love for God is so important, and it helps shape the way we care for others. And so I don't know, I think that that's a pretty, I think that's something we should start doing in our family, as parents and in our marriage, is to really start to set our mind on the greatest commandment that the Lord's asking us to do. Is like today, I want you to love me with all that you have. I want you to be obedient in your mind and in your actions. And I want you to learn to love your neighbor better and more completely. Don't you think that that would be quite a challenge?
I think that's our challenge. I mean, I think that particularly in today's world where it's so negative. And I think with social media and Twitter and just all the things where there's just so much negativity, like it just breeds negativity. And I think that it really is sometimes hard to fall into that trap of the complaining and the talking bad about people. Yeah. And just that it's just such, I think, culturally right now, and maybe it always has been, but I think more now than ever, maybe you notice it because of the social media outlet. Everybody has an opinion and everybody gets to express their opinion and on a big stage or you know, and so I think that you really do stand out when you live a life that is for people and love people and encourage people. And I think it is so counter to what is the normal, mm-hmm. that it does stand out and people do take notice. And I don't know about you or you know, even the people listening, but those people that are super positive and that really shy away from talking bad about people and can really turn the conversation when it gets negative, those are the people I want to be around.
Yeah.
And people, you know, that come to mind, that you're just like, man, they're so encouraging. And they just have this
spirit about them.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to be around.
Yeah.
And the people that I don't want to be around are the ones that are constantly, you know, sort of negative and talking trash on people and just kind of just always and that's, I think, you know, I think when you talk about love and loving your neighbor and being different and being set apart, and how do we do that on an everyday basis in our actions and in our speech, in our heart, because what we say comes from our heart. And so I think it really does have to be this sort of God moving our hearts, softening our hearts, you know, having us look at people differently than maybe we do today.
Mm-hmm. And I think Scripture also talked about in the Discipleship Handbook, points out on page 52, it challenges us to look up 1 John 4:19 and fill in the blanks. We love because he first loved us. And so there's this there's this pattern to follow. If we pattern our life after Christ and we observe how Jesus loved well, and we can model our life after that. And I think something that I've heard recently, I was visiting with a woman that I really respect. Her name is Rachel Joy. And she says, when we pattern our life after Christ, we look at Jesus's life, and it was very simple. Jesus sees us, he loves us, and he knows us. And I think she says it knows us, sees us, loves us. But either way, when she said that, it really resonated with me. And I think that if we model our life after Jesus and we're taking love in action seriously, I think we do need, like you were saying, we do need to do a better job of really seeing people, really trying to know people. And therefore, I think that we can love them well. And I don't know, one of the reflection questions on here was, how does God's great love for you compel you? Let me try that again. How does God's great love for you compel you to love him and others in response? And it's just like, how does God's love move first and teach us and compel us to love well? And I don't know, when I heard Rachel say that, I really thought about ways I could see people. I can be fully present in conversations. I can learn to know them well. Inner messy spaces or inner complicated relationships that may take more time than maybe I thought I had time to give. Maybe sit in tough stuff. I don't know. These are just ways I think that we look at the life of Christ. We're patterning our life after Christ. And I think that that's how we choose love. And when we love God with all that we have, then I think that there's a responsibility when we love others in our sphere of influence, we kind of go the distance with them instead of just this surface sort of relationship. You know what I mean? Is it a relationship? I don't know if it's just surface stuff. I don't know. I think for me, I want to be challenged to go the distance with the people that God has placed in my life and care in the way that Jesus has cared for us and model my life after that. And it might be exhausting, you know, it might be a sacrifice, but I think it's going to be well worth it. I really do. Or it has been. And
I think the most meaningful conversations, relationships are the ones that actually have depth to them. Yeah. They're actually, you know, because I think everybody, you know, is dealing, struggling, you know, making their way through something. And mm-hmm. I think that if you actually care to get to the bottom and to go there with them, it creates a bond and a relationship that's actually like meaningful and eternal, or like, you know, it has value that's eternal. And I think that a lot of times our relationships are, here's an example. This is probably stupid, but when I go to the football games, at OSU football games, I go to watch the game. Mm-hmm. And if you go up to the suites where all the people that don't really watch the games, they're just there kind of socially. Mm-hmm. And they start having conversations with me that are very surfacey, and I don't care.
I know.
And I feel bad, but I want to tell them, like, look, these little surfacey conversations, I'm here to watch the game. And so I don't want to have, it ends up ruining. I don't get to watch the game because I'm having surfacey conversations that I won't remember for 5 minutes after I'm done having them. And I find myself not present. I'm looking over their shoulder. I'm trying to watch the game. And so don't interrupt the football game.
Well,
and I don't know if that means anything, but all I'm saying is
what I think, like, if we want to talk about what it really means, like you love Coach Gundy in Oklahoma State football, and you just want to lock in at football games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but other people just want to, you know, they have these shallow conversations.
You're not into shallow conversations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't remember them. Like,
so let me ask you a question. If I want to talk about something really important that's on my heart, am I allowed to talk to him at the?
No, we're not doing it at the football game in the suite.
Like, no, not in the suite, like on your normal seat.
During a timeout,
you're going to give me like this couple minutes to talk about something.
That's really a lot, though. You get 3 minutes in college football. You get 3 minutes a lot of times.
That's 3 minute good. Burst. Probably knock that out. 3 minutes. 3 minute burst. That's funny. Okay, so here's an area And I want to draw this out too. It's like 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And people that have raised in church, they know that this is the love verses, the passage of scripture that talks about love. But I want to sort of look at this a little bit differently. I think this is a really good way to test ourselves and see if we're loving well. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so I do think that 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 is a very accurate picture of love. And I would say in a marriage, I get the opportunity to perform a wedding here this summer, and I'm not going to use that verse because that should be a given.
Hopefully
like
not this summer.
It's going to be this summer. And so I'm not going to use that verse because that should be a given. That isn't like a newly married verse, in my opinion. Like, but I think as you like are married for a long time or with your kids or with your neighbors in this context, like loving God with all that we have and then loving our neighbors. I think this is a really good grid for how we should love well and like choosing to love, especially we say love is patient and kind. I think in a marriage, raising kids, in our circle of influence and in the people that God's allowed to come into our life, patience is a non-negotiable in those relationships and believing the best in people and taking the long road with people and playing the long game and all of those things, like having patience in a relationship and as a believer, having patience in someone else's sanctification process, I think is very loving and very kind. You know, some of us are going to grow really fast in certain areas of our life where we're becoming like Christ swiftly, but then there's going to be some of those areas in our life that that take a little bit of time for us to grow and mature and develop. And so, Matt, when you think about love being patient and kind, what sorts of things do you think about?
Well, I think it's a good reminder. I mean, I think when you're talking about patient and kind, when you're talking about a marriage, you know, when you talk about friendships, when you talk about, I guess, the people that you love and being able to have patience with, I don't know, I guess bad days or bad moments or bad, you know, times when, because it is such a kind of, when you're married to somebody and for a long time, you live with them every day, like most days are great, but there are some days where one is down and one is up but I think the patience to know, I guess that we're all different and we all are, you know, processing things differently at a different speed, like you talked about. But I think patience and kindness are traits that should come from our heart that God has changed and created in us, that we have compassion for each other and patience and kindness when things are hard or we're, you know, you're not getting along with somebody and even with like the kids, like sometimes I fail with patience and kindness and I probably, you look back later at night or whatever, you lay down and you think, I could have handled that a lot differently. So I just think that's the constant like reminder of patience and kindness and love and that our heart needs to be transforming to be more like that on a daily basis. But I think that's something that's really important, is having compassion for people. And I think life does that to you to some degree too. When you get older, and as you get older, you see more things, you see harder things, you go through experience harder things, and it creates a different kind of compassion in you that you hope that you mature and pass along to your people, the people that you love.
Absolutely. And then like even teaching our kids right now, like as they're navigating, you know, we have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old and we have an 18-year-old. And as they, I mean, this is a topic in and of itself, but as they navigate dating and they're trying to develop this grid of what is love? Like what is love? I think a great example in a conversation that we had this evening is love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And I think as young people in our homes are developing this working definition of what is love purely, I think that going to this verse as parents to bring this up to your kids is going to be very helpful, because this is what scripture says is true about love. And this is a good, healthy guardrail to consider as you're dealing with navigating relationships and coaching your kids up on what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship. What do you think about that? Do you wish you would have known that as a young man dating? I know I wish I would have known that as a young girl. There would have been a couple boyfriends that wouldn't have been in my history book for sure. Because I think as young people, like I just don't think we quite have the capacity to understand what love really is.
Yeah, and I think if you use this as like a grid, like you can avoid a lot of
heartbreak.
Yeah, like heartache and hard moments and sad and lonely and embarrassed. And there's just a lot of pitfalls that you can avoid if you actually take this to heart and sort of, this is important. These are the things that are important to me at a young age and in relationships. But I think, you know, sometimes young kids, it's almost like they feel like they have to have a boyfriend or girlfriend mm-hmm. to not be bored or to be cool. But if obviously we can help them mature fast enough to where these things actually are sort of a litmus test of.
Yeah. Shaping the vision of this is what love is. This is what it looks like. This is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's really cool. I think that the Bible is so, I mean, it says this and say it's alive and active, and it's always gives us scripture, always gives us an opportunity, to teach us things. And I just was thinking about this tonight and just like, even in our marriage, we've been married 22 years, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I think when you're in a marriage that I would call us, I would say we have a mature marriage. I mean, I hope you would agree that we have a mature marriage, but this is, when I read this now, after 22 years of marriage, this is very true of us. Like, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And the beautiful thing about being married a while and a marriage that truly is centered, Christ is our anchor for the two of us, is this is true about you. It's like, I believe all things. Like, I'm for you and you're for me. And, you know, and I love that God's developed that in our marriage. And I think our kids have seen that too. They know that you and I are a team. And I think that that's really neat. And it's something that only God has done, because we didn't start out that way. We started out, you know, not that way. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think that the faster, you wish you could just, you know, sort of expedite the process for young people, kids, to just, man, if they could really live their life through these lenses, they could get down the road a lot faster than sort of trudging along, falling in the speed bumps and the potholes of relationships and life that can happen with relationships that aren't centered on those things. It really is very difficult to have a partnership and a relationship of like that without some of those characteristics growing in your life.
That's right. All right. So when we get to page 57, we're going to close with this, just the key points at the end. If you don't have your discipleship handbook, it's all right. We'll read them to you. But this is these are really good, like, key points to help us understand the greatest commandment. And I do recommend that you both go back and read Matthew 22 and that interaction where Jesus is highlighting, like, this is the greatest thing. This is what you need to understand about God and others, and the value that Jesus is saying, like, this relationship with my Father is of great value, and overflowing of this relationship that you have with the Lord, it's going to overflow in the way that we treat others. But key point number one, when tested by a devout religious person about the greatest commandment, That was in the law. Jesus summarized all the commands of the Old Testament with two inseparable overarching commands: love God and love your neighbor. And we've talked about that this evening, but it's worth repeating, is learning how to root deep in your love for the Lord. And the only way we can do that is, number one, through really understanding the words of God. And number two, being in a community and being involved in our local church and having a community of brothers and sisters that can lock arms with us and help us live a life that is obedient to the Lord. And I'm so grateful for our community of believers, and I'm super, super grateful for the Word of God. And so love God and love your neighbor. I want to challenge everyone to think about ways that we can love our neighbor, even this week, if you're following along and we're doing this discipleship handbook together. Think of a way that you can be kind towards people in your sphere of influence. How can you love your neighbor well? And maybe that means even one of your kids. I know for us right now, our youngest little guy, we've just been really busy. And so I'm starting to notice that he really likes art, and he really likes, I mean, I've noticed that for a long time, but lately it's been amped up, and he likes to do creative things. And so I think just a way to love read well is to do those things with him, even though it's not my favorite. The only thing I can draw is a tree. That's it. I'm not very artsy, but I think just sitting with him in the ministry of presence and being with him while he is creative and doing fun things, those are ways that we can love others, right? We love the Lord and we love our neighbor. And sometimes our neighbor can even be our family within the walls of our home. Key point number two, loving God and loving others is the highest call and motivation of the follower of Jesus. And I couldn't agree with that more. And I also think it's the most rewarding. Don't you agree, babe? I mean, it's the most rewarding, like to learn how to purely love someone and root for someone. You played with a guy named Matt Hurgis, and we were young, and I wasn't friends with him. It's not my friend, it's your friend. I mean, not that I wasn't friends with him, but whatever. I would observe him and think, I really, really like that fella, because he was so positive and he always rooted for people. And I loved how he loved his wife and his kids and all of those things. But I think that when I read this, love God and loving others is the highest call and motivation of the follower of Jesus. Like Matt Hurgis, like his vibe motivated me to follow Jesus, because he just purely rooted for people and he wanted what was best in someone's life. You remember that? You remember that guy? What a guy. What a guy.
I still keep in touch with him.
That's good. I'm glad you keep in touch with him. What a neat guy. I remember being, it's so interesting, like how when we're young, like how people can really form your opinions about things. You know what I mean? I love that guy. Point number three, we love because he first loved us. Like Jesus modeled love, and we see the love that God had and the love Jesus had for people. And we watched how he knew people, he loved people, he saw people. And I think that that's a call to action for all of us, is pattern our life after Christ and love because he first loved us. Number four, a good working definition of love is to desire God's best in the life of others and to give of yourself, even at great personal cost, to this end. And we definitely see that in marriage. We talked about that tonight. And we definitely see that in parenting, is desiring God's best in the life of you, Matt, and our kids, and to give of myself at great personal cost. And that's absolutely true when we're in a marriage where we're choosing to love one another in the walls of our home. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, when you talk about being a husband and a father and loving people like that, I mean, that's the love that's the dad and husband that I want to be, is somebody that, you know, when we pass on, we hope that somebody will say something to that degree about us, about how we love our people.
Yeah, absolutely. And we learn that from following Jesus, like those things. That's the thing too, is like, I'm going to take a time out here and we learn these things because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Like we don't learn these things on our own, and we can't do these things on our own, like with our own will, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to have this working definition of love and become more like Christ in the walls of our home. And we truly that desire God's best in the lives of others. And even if it costs us something like personal sacrifice. And finally, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 provides us with a great description of love. We should meditate on this passage often and test ourselves to see if we're loving others well. And I think that that passage of scripture, we read it earlier, and I'm just going to read it again in closing. And I think that it's such a scripture that, like, no matter our age, whether we're young, whether we're old, it applies to us now. Are we purely loving others the way God has asked us to love? Are we being patient? Are we being kind? We should not envy or boast. We should not be arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And my prayer for all of us as we think about these things this week is that we really meditate on those verses and start to put this passage of scripture in action into the tougher relationships we have, because that's what builds that grittiness, right, about our faith and about being obedient to what God has called us to do. Is if we can love like that, and we can allow scripture to shape our vision of what love is, and we choose to love in this way, I do think that we're being obedient to the greatest commandment, where we're loving God and we're loving him so much that we're willing to choose to love others that may not be that easy to love. And so anything else, babe?
No, I love that passage.
Me too. Tonight was a good night. And next week, we're going to talk about trials, being refined by trials. And so anyway, but I hope this week you can really feel the love of the Lord, and I challenge y'all to get out and love others well. All right. Good night. All right. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Table 40. You can find our podcast everywhere podcasts are found and at thesportsspectrum.com. And if you're looking for a great resource, check out the Sports Spectrum magazine and order your copy today. The magazine has wonderful stories on sports and faith, and it's a perfect gift for kids and a sports fan who loves Jesus. Subscribe today to sportsspectrum.com. And thanks again for checking out our show, and we will see you next time here on Table 40.